Today's reading comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 3. From the Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. In the 15th year of the reign of Emperor Tiberius, when Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea, Herod Antipas was ruler of Galilee, and his brother ruler of the regions of Tyria and Trachonitis, and Licinius ruler of Abilene, during the high priesthood of Annas and Caiaphas, the word of God came to John, son of Zechariah, in the wilderness. He went to all the region around Jordan, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for forgiveness of sins. As written in the book of the words of the prophet Isaiah, the voice of one crying out of the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight. Every valley shall be filled, every mountain and hill shall be made low, the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places made smooth. And all flesh shall see the salvation of God. John said to the crowds that came to be baptized him, you brood of vipers, who warned you from flee of the wrath to come? Bear fruits worthy of repentance. Do not begin to say to yourself, we have Abraham as our ancestor. For I tell you, God is able from these stones to raise up children to Abraham. Even now the axe is laying at the root of the tree, and every tree, therefore, that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown to fire. And the crowds ask him, what then shall we do? In reply, he said to them, whoever has two coats must share with anyone who has none, and whoever has food must do likewise. Even tax collectors came to be baptized, and they asked him, teacher, what should we do? He said to them, collect no more than the amount prescribed for you. Soldiers also asked him, and we, what should we do? He said to them, do not extort money from anyone by threats or false accusation, and be satisfied with your wages. As the people were filled with expectation, and all were questioning their hearts concerning John, whether he might be the Messiah, John answered all of them by saying, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming, and I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, the clear threshing floor, and to gather the wheat into the granary. With the chaff he shall burn with unquenchable fire. So with many other exhortations, he proclaimed the good news to the people. But Herod Antipas, the ruler, who had been rebuked by him because of Herodias, his brother's wife, and because of all the evil things that Herod had done, added to this by shutting John in prison. Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized, he was praying. The heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in a bodily form like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. My friends, the word of God for the people of God, thanks be to God. So this morning we finally come to Jesus as an adult. We have followed him from an unborn child in Nazareth to a newborn baby in Bethlehem to a little toddler in Egypt, hiding from King Herod the Great, to being what we now call a preteen in Jerusalem, whose parents have been looking for him for 3 days, 3 nights. And now we're finally getting to meet him as an adult. And so things have changed at this point. Caesar Augustus has died. A new guy is in charge, Caesar Tiberius. He is the one who has appointed Pontius Pilate in charge of Judea and Jerusalem and Samaria. Meanwhile, the high priest now is a guy named Caiaphas, but his father-in-law, Annas, is also considered to be kind of like an honorary high priest because he's still alive. He got fired by the Romans, but not by the Jewish people. And in Galilee, you have a guy named Herod Antipas, the son of King Herod the Great, and he is a ruler of Galilee. And so in this political situation, we have the child of Zechariah and Elizabeth, whom we first talked about way back in November. He's full grown, and he is leading a Riverside revival, calling the people to repentance, calling them to come to the Jordan River and be baptized. Now, what is the significance of the Jordan River? Well, you may recall when God's people left Egypt and they got sick of the wilderness for 40 years, it was Joshua who led them to the promised land through the Jordan River. And so John the Baptist is basically saying, we need a redo. You need to come back to this Jordan River and be baptized and repent. That is, do a U-turn. Repentance simply means to make a change, a U-turn. Now, for example, there's been many times where I was on some country road in the middle of the night trying to go from point A to point B, and I missed my turn off. Great. And so you keep going, and I was always so happy when I saw a little country church, because then I could pull in that church parking lot and turn around and get back on the right path. Now, those little country churches come handy for U-turns. But, you know, every Sunday morning, this church, and hopefully all churches, are good for a U-turn in your spiritual lives, to where if you realize you're going the wrong direction, you can repent and turn your life around and start doing what the Lord wants you to do. And so a bunch of folks came out to see this wild-looking man. You know, Matthew Gospel talks about how he was dressed in furs, camel skin like old Elijah, and he had a very unusual diet. He had the John the Baptist diet of honey and locusts, which we call in our culture grasshoppers. I mean, he was a wild-looking man. And I suspect folks came out there first, kind of look at him, stare at him, you know. But then they messed up. They started listening to him. And as they got listening, they got convicted. And John Baptist pulled no punches. He's calling a bunch of snakes. He said, why do you come here and get baptized for? And he says, don't you say that we have Abraham as our ancestor? That's not good enough. No, here in the South, I like to call that kinfolk religion. It sounds something like, well, my dad was a preacher, or my dad's a deacon, well, granddad's a preacher, or my grandmother taught Sunday school, and none of that matters. We're not talking about them, we're talking about you. The Jewish people thought this cause they were descended from Abraham, they were in good shape. But honey, it doesn't matter on your family tree, on Ancestry.com and 23andMe, who's on there. The question is, what about you and your spiritual state? What have you been up to? And he gets very rough and says, look, somebody's coming with an axe, and every tree that does not bear good fruit will be cut down and cast in the fire. That's talking about God's judgment. Well, that scared him and said, well, what should we do then? Well, he talks about loving his neighbor yourself. He says, well, if you have two coats, give one coat to someone who doesn't have a coat. Last week at Central High School, we had she's kind of like a guidance counselor. She's a therapist that comes in, talk to our kids. And I said, hey, I got something for you. I said, I found this in the teacher work area before I left school the other day. And I want to see if you want it for your little room here in the library. And it was a chair on wheels. And she got all excited. And she said, don't you want one? And I said, I already have one. And I said, and as John the Baptist said, let he has two coats, give the one who doesn't have one. Okay? Share and share alike. And then he talks about what we're doing here in the back. Whoever has food must do likewise. In other words, open that kitchen pantry up and share some of your food with someone who doesn't have any. Well, then the tax collector showed up, the IRS. I know you all like the IRS. Now, here in a few weeks, I'll be getting my W-2 forms and looking stuff up and doing all that fun stuff. And back then, before you had TurboTax, right, you had to go to a tax collector. And these tax collectors were supposed to charge a little bit extra for their salary, but often not, they were overcharging and skimming off the top. And I'm sure you remember the story of Zacchaeus and Luke's gospel later on when Jesus came through Jericho, and Zacchaeus being the wee little man, climbed a tree. And Jesus said, Zacchaeus, come down, we'll have supper with you tonight. And then being in the presence of Jesus, Zacchaeus got convicted and said, Lord, I'm going to go through and do all of my finances. If I cheat anyone out of their money, I'm going to send them a check for 4 times as much. And they're going to take half my money and give it to the poor. And Jesus says, salvation has come to this house today. Zacchaeus didn't get saved, by the way, because he gave away his money. He was saved, and then he gave away his money, okay? Let's not get that confused. And so he tells the IRS, John the Baptist does, we'll collect your taxes and no more you're supposed to. Well, then you have the soldiers saying, well, what should we do? Now, your soldiers in that society would be more to us, not so much our army as our police department. So that'd be like if John the Baptist were here at the Chesapeake Creek or Ball Rivers, and the Englewood Police Department shows up. So what should we do? He says, well, don't be pulling people over unless you have a reason to pull them over, okay? Don't be out here fee grabbing. Don't be out here thinking, I need a new patrol car. I'm going to pull somebody over, you know, around my ticket. No. Do your job and be content with your wages. Now, think how much problems that would solve our country. Every police department had the attitude of, unless you're breaking the law or doing something crazy, I'm not giving a ticket. I'm here to serve and protect. That would solve a lot of problems. And so they did that. And then everybody was kind of wondering, whispering, is it him? Is it him? Is this the Messiah? Is this the Messiah? No, they may be calling John's gospel. The higher ups in Jerusalem sent representatives. Are you the Messiah? No. Are you Elijah? No. Are you the prophet? No. Who are you then? No. He says, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. And so John is very clear and says, now listen, I baptize you with water, but one is coming who will baptize you with the fire of the Holy Spirit. One is coming, and I'm not even worthy to untie sandals. Matthew Gospel tells, he told the crowd, said, because this guy was here before I was here. And he talks about how he's coming to judge folks and such, and to separate evil from good. And then Luke gets a little ahead of himself and says, oh, by the way, John ended up getting thrown into the dungeon by Herod Antipas. You see, Herod Antipas was married to an Arabian princess, and then he left the princess and stole Herodias. And this is complicated. This would be a messy family tree. Herodias was his brother's wife, and was also his niece, okay? I mean, you're talking about a mess up Thanksgiving dinner, and stowed Herodias away from Philip. Now, personally, I think he did Philip a favor by doing that. But anyway, and so John the Baptist called him out, and under pressure from Herodias, Herod Antipas threw John the Baptist in prison. But just before he did that, though, somebody comes down to the river to be baptized. And John is surprised and says, in Matthew's gospel, wait a minute. Is it not you who should baptize me? And this person says, suffer it be so, that we may fulfill all things righteously. You know, last Sunday we read a little bit about Jesus being fully divine and fully human. You know, being fully human is kind of like this circle over here of being polytrained and learn your ABCs and 1, 2, 3s and learn how to walk and ride your bicycle. And then fully divine being having no sin, the ability to walk on water, to heal the blind, the lame. And then every once in a while, because being human also means we are creating God's image, you get these areas where they kind of overlap a little bit. Because now Jesus is about to get soaking wet, okay? That's very human. But hold on, Jesus, why are you getting baptized? Baptism is supposed to be about repentance and turn away from your sins. You don't have any sins to turn away from. What you here for, you know? I mean, that's like one time I came home and at the basement door there was a basket full of towels. And so I didn't think anything about it. I took the towels downstairs, put them in the washer, and left. Well, a little while later, my mom came in with my dad for something from an errand they run, and she said, where's those towels I brought in from the laundry room? And Dad said, well, those towels are going to be real clean, okay? They need to be washed or have been washed. Well, Jesus did not need to be baptized in the sense of repentance of sins. He hadn't done any sins to begin with. But he did, though, as an example to all of us. You know, sometimes when you're a parent, teacher, you do things, not because you need to do it, but you did it as an example to your students. Think about how, for example, like in math class, your teacher could look at the math problem and do it in her head. But being a good teacher, she actually wrote out step by step by step for the students. And Jesus had no sin, and yet he went undergo a baptism, not for his sake, but for our sake, to show the way, to lead an example. And then we have this beautiful section that really illustrates the beauty of the Trinity. And in fact, if you look in the back corner near Josh there, you'll see a beautiful stained glass window that depicts this moment. Now, and people want to know how to explain the Trinity, and I think, well, this is the best example I can give right there. You have Jesus, fully divine, fully human, being baptized, not because he needed it, but he was doing an example for all those other human beings who did need it. You have God the Father in heaven looking down upon newly baptized, saying, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased." And then you have the Holy Spirit in the form of a dove descending from the Father upon the newly baptized. And I'm sure some of you older folks, maybe some younger folks, may have heard of a song by Ferlin Husky. He was a big country hit in the 50s. And one of the verses, if folks don't remember as much, is about how Jesus went down to the river to pray. He was baptized in the usual way. But as he came up, the heavens opened up. God blessed his own son on the wings of a dove. On the wings of a snow-white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. So why did Jesus get baptized? The same reason he was born in the manger, died on the cross, buried and rose again. He didn't do that for his sake. He was doing that for our sake. And as a Christian, when you become a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, one of the first things you should be doing is getting baptized. By baptism, it's showing that your sins, that old life, is dead. And you come out of that water, and now it's a new life. You're a new creature. Jesus was baptized by John as an act of humility, not because he needed it, because we needed it. He says, "I'm doing this to show you what you need to do." And so on this baptism Sunday, we remember how Jesus, the Son of God, was baptized, and how his Heavenly Father said, "This is my beloved Son, whom I well please," and how the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit, came down in the form of a dove. Thanks be to God. Amen.